come on. And you know that somebody that you have been involved with, somebody, maybe your dad or parents or something, somebody promised you something. Well, on your birthday, I'm going to buy you a new bike. And that expectation comes up inside of you. I'm getting a new bike. I'm getting a new bike. And you start playing it over in your head. I wonder what color it's going to be. I wonder if it'll have the tassels. I wonder if it's just the one that I've been asking for. I wonder, because you're building this picture on the inside of you of what the result is going to be of the promise fulfilled. And you see, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. Man, I'm going through some stuff right now. I know that some sitting in this room didn't think you'd be going through right now what you're going through. It wasn't in your plan. Right? It wasn't, God, man, this life is going to be blessed. I'm going to do great things for you. Everything's going to be awesome. And then hell came in. Right? Sometimes that happens, right? And what do you do with that? You see, you don't put your expectations on things that are of the earth. We have to have our expectation on Him. Come on. Glory to God. He is so good. He is so awesome. To hope means to trust in, to wait patiently with expectations. I'm getting a new bike. I'm getting a new bike. You go out and tell all your friends, I'm getting a new bike. Come on. Right? Wait till you see me on my birthday, man. I'm going to come riding over with my new bike. Right? Right? Come on. God's going to meet my need. I'm telling you, God's going to meet my need. I know you're telling me that I should tamper it down, that I shouldn't have any expectation, that, you know, sometimes God will, sometimes He won't. But you've gotten a word from God, and God said, I will meet that need. Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of you. So when they sell you that, you just go, ha, 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 ha. We'll see. We'll see who has the last laugh, because I'm telling you right now, with joy and confidence, I'm saying that God, who is the God who put the stars in place, the same God who said, oceans, you can only come this far, the same God that says, okay, mountain peaks, this is how high you're going to be, that same God is the God who promised us some things, and we can take Him at His word, come on, and we can have expectation based on what He said, so that we can have confidence, glory to God, and joy in the midst of whatever we're going through. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's not the God of I maybe. He's the God of I will. He's not the God of I might. He said, if He's promised, He's the God of I will. And so we need to take Him at that word. And no matter how many disappointments we've had, we've got to get our expectation back in line with the word. Come on. Anybody need some hope today? Right? We're reading about the one who gives us hope, the one who is our hope. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I talked myself into preaching me happy today, so if you want to come along, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. Glory to God. He is so faithful. He's so faithful. God has been speaking some things to me. I believe we're on an accelerated pace right now. How many know that we're in the last days? If you don't, you're an ostrich and you've had your head in the sand. Right? Because what's going on right now in the world is just so incredibly prophetic. And we've seen it. We've been waiting for it. And don't be afraid of it. Come on. Come on, because it's not our economy, it's not our history, it's not our future, it's the future that's been promised through the Word of God. Come on. Hallelujah. There is no fear here, because I believe. Come on, come on. There is no fear here, because I believe. I have hope, I have an expectation. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 23. It says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly. waiting for adoption of the redemption of our body. That word waiting there could be translated hope. It's the same word in the Greek. Now watch this. We have the, watch this. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. How many received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The moment that you did, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you. In fact, the Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So if you doubt that, you need to come back and take a look at that. But once you've been born again, once you know that, the enemy will try to talk you out of it. The enemy will try to tell you that, well, yeah, you were saved last year, but you're not saved this year. And you know, you need to get saved again. You need to get born again, 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 again. And there are some churches you can go every Sunday and give your heart to Jesus. And if you need to, that's fine. But the reality is the first fruits of the Spirit is that witness that we've been born again. We even in ourselves groan with ourselves eagerly for the waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What's that talking about? We have a hope that someday Jesus is going to come back. And when He comes back, we're going up with Him. And when we go up with Him, watch this, our mortal bodies will be turned into immortal bodies. Our bodies will be awesome. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more confusion. Come on. Glory. There is no arthritis in heaven. There is no carpal tunnel in heaven. Right? Come on. There's no coronavirus 19, 20, 30, whatever. There's none of that in heaven, right? And so we have this hope and an earnest expectation with confidence that some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's a confidence, there's an expectation that's inside of us, but we've got to come with hope. We've got to believe in hope. Against hope, we need to believe in hope, just like Abraham did. In Romans chapter 4, it says, he believed in hope when hope was not even looking like it was on the picture. The dude was 100 years old, but against hope, he believed in hope. Woo, glory to God. Everybody in the world might talk you out of what God has put in your heart, but don't let hope fade by other people's opinions. Don't let hope fade by other circumstances. You continue to operate in the joy of the Lord because that's the strength that you need to keep the hope alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says this, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? Come on, that seems pretty obvious. I don't have to expect something if I have it. That would be kind of silly. If I received that new bike and you went, Dad, man, I'm expecting the bike. Well, son, you already have the bike. Yeah, but I'm really hoping the... But son, you have... Son, do I need to, you know... Is there something wrong with you, boy? Right? But it says hope that's already been received is not really hope, but we have a hope. Verse 25. But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Come on. What do we wait for? We wait for Jesus' return. He's coming. He's coming in the clouds. Come on. Right? Do you believe that? Is your hope in that? Do you have confident expectation with joy in what He said? He's coming for me. I said, He's coming for me. I don't know if it's in a rapture when I you know, breathe my last breath here, but when I do, I'm going to be in His presence forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Come on. Devil, give it your best shot. What can you do to me that hasn't already been taken care of? Hallelujah. The Bible says, you know, that He's taken away the grip of fear that death has. For us Christians, we shouldn't fear death at all. I mean, I don't want to die 1 second before I'm supposed to because I want to accomplish everything that God has for me. But death is, your last breath on here is the best, you know, the best second you've ever had in your existence. Right? Whew! Come on, we've got to keep our eyes on the right thing. Oh, Lord, it's hard. No. It's not hard. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But we have to keep our expectation. Come on the one who's promised. Is God for me? Come on. Is God for you? Do you believe that? Is your hope in that? Well, then lift up your head. Lift up your hands. Come on. My hope is in you. Remember that song we used to sing? It was back in the charismatic Tulsa two-step days. Remember? My hope is in you, Lord, and my faith is in you, Lord. It's in you. It's in you. Come on. You couldn't sing that song for very long without getting a smile on your face. Why? Because it puts your focus back on Him. He's my hope. He's my hope. Woo! Well, this situation seems hopeless. Well, let me introduce you to somebody that will bring hope into hopelessness. Right? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care where the economy goes. I don't care if communism takes over. I mean, all of that I'm fighting against in the spirit. But the reality is, my hope is not in my government. My hope is not in my paycheck. My hope is, it's in Him. It's in Him. It's in Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 15, verse 15. Yes, and we are found false witness of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ from whom He did not raise up. In fact, the dead did not rise. And he's countermanding an argument that they're making. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after that, those who are being clothed at His coming. Come on. Come on. He is risen. You know, we celebrate on Easter and we all say, He's risen. Why is that a big deal? Because we must learn to become identified not just with His death, not just with His burial, but also with His resurrection. Because when He was raised from the dead, He had stated that the sacrifice was accepted. It's the power of God that raised Him from the dead. But just as He was raised from the dead, my identification with Him says, I was raised to life also. Ooh, glory to God. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. And as He is, so are we in this world. My hope is in Jesus. I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want you to get excited about being in love with Jesus again. Come on. While you're turning there, hold your place there and go back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. God, forgive us for being pouty. Forgive us for being down in the mouth. Forgive us, God, for not living out of the joy that You've purchased. Come on. Come on. I'm you know, just, it's so good. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Now, this is the verse that Jesus quoted when he said, I've come. And he quoted in Isaiah and he said, this is me. And the people freaked out, but this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's in reference to Jubilee. What was Jubilee? Jubilee was the year where everything that you lost was given back. All the family debts were now paid. Right? Come on. Jesus is our Jubilee. But now, let's go on here for a minute. See, that same anointing, the one that we talk about, is also here. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. What does that mean? There's a day when God is going to say, all right, that's enough. Satan, your kingdom has run its reign. Your lease on the earth is over. Evil, you'll no longer be here. And I'm going to pour out my wrath on all of those who would not believe, those who would not accept me, those who would not. And really, it's not even him pouring out his wrath. It's the justice that must come for the consequences of their actions. It's not about God doing it. It's about them receiving what God said they'd receive if they didn't do what he said. Come on. I'm not looking for anybody to go through the wrath, but I'm also so thrilled that I don't have to, because Jesus paid the price for me. Right? Now watch this. To comfort all who mourn. Jesus died on the cross for your comfort. Not only that, he sent you the Holy Spirit, as Donnie alluded to earlier in the service, that he's our comforter. He's our paraclete. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our standby. He's our helper. Woo! To give them, again, that same anointing that was on Jesus to heal the brokenhearted is the same one that says to give them beauty for ashes. God today calls you beautiful. God today calls you beautiful. Even if you were a mess, he calls you beautiful. Glory to God. Did you hear that? Power of God coming through. To counsel those, or console, excuse me, those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God wants to give you joy. God wants to give you comfort. God wants to give you the spirit of praise. He wants praise to be on your lips. He wants you to be filled with the praise of God. Why? Because your hope is in him. You have a confident expectation that he who promised is faithful. He who said he loves you actually does. He who said he'd meet your needs actually will. He who said he'd give you peace has already done it. He who said he'd give you wisdom has already given you the wisdom. I can hope in him. I can believe in him. I can have a confident expectation in him. Glory to God! It may look dark now, but I'm telling you, joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory! It ain't over till it's over. Glory to God! There's a saying in the sports world years ago that said, "It ain't over till the fat lady sings." A reference to an opera. Yeah, that went over big. The big lady gets up, but I'm telling you, it's not over till the trumpet sounds. Woo! He's getting ready to blow. It's getting ready to blow. They've been up there practicing for a few years, right? But they're all going to get up there. It's going to sound better than some of the chauffeurs that we blow here. But anyway, it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 3 says, "We give thanks to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." You see, when they heard of their faith, he knew that their lives were forever changed. He knew that they were not the same people that were before. Come on. The Bible says that all of us, before we were in Christ, were without hope, without any way of coming to him, because we weren't of the Jewish nation, us Gentiles, right? But watch this. He says, now something has changed. What's changed? You came to Christ Jesus. You believe in Christ Jesus. Since we heard that, we know that everything's changed. I'm not the same as I was. I'm not the same man. Hallelujah. Verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel." Come on. There's a hope laid up for you. I said there's a hope laid up for you. Now I've heard it said, and I don't mind, you know, if I get one, but you know, it says that Jesus, when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you." Can you imagine God building a house? Do you know that if God built a house, it wouldn't be going to the, "All right, I want 3 bids, and I'm going to take the cheapest one." Right? There'd be no corners cut. I want the best. Have you ever heard him describe the house that Moses built and that David built? Everything had gold around it. This pulpit would be covered in a gold sheet. Why? Because God is extravagant. God is extravagant. So the hope which is laid up for you is a life that's extravagant. His streets are gold. He put the foundation down, but he puts these big stones as the cornerstones, big jewels. The gates into the city are pearls that are huge. What am I telling you? That's where you're going. That's where you're headed for. That's where you'll be home. I'm going home. Glory to God. Someday, glory to God. Look at verse 23. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded steadfast, and are not moved away from hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Look at, don't be moved away from the hope that you have in the gospel. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I remember the night I got saved. I remember being one way going into the room and a completely different man going out. I remember the peace that came upon me. I remember knowing that God was real and that he was alive. I remember that. I don't need to walk away from that. When life and struggles and trouble comes and people come and people go, I need to go back to that and say, "Lord, my hope, my expectation is full of joy, and I'm confident in the same God that saved me is able to keep me. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh in what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." What's he saying? I've gone through some things, but everything that I've gone through has led me to you. And everything that I've had to go through has put me in a position to be able to preach the gospel to you. So I'd gladly go through what I've gone through, because my treasure is not here on earth, it's in heaven. So the suffering that I've had here, no big deal. No big deal. It's interesting. Now, I've not experienced this personally, but Renita and I were both with both children. There was the time when the baby was to be born. And so we went through the whole birthing process together. You know, I ate Snickers, she went through the pain. But got to the point where the pain was intense, right? The pain was intense. She's going, where is he going? The pain was intense. And through the labor, it was like, it was tough. And then transition came. Every man should be scared when you hear that word. but transition came. And so finally, push, push, push. And then the baby's born. And then they put the baby up in your lap. Or, put on Renita's on her chest. And the agony that I saw a minute ago was transformed into beautiful peace and a joy that was incredible. That's what Paul's saying here. I've gone through some labor pains. I've gone through some stuff. But the end of that labor pains was your birth. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't worry about the stuff you're going through. Just say, God, just lead me to somebody else that I can preach your gospel to. Let me be a witness to somebody. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 25 says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And the mystery which has been hidden from all ages and generations, but now has been revealed to us, his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, the hope of glory. Christ in me is the thing that gives me a confident expectation that I'm going to live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And I have the Word of truth in my heart and in my mouth. And when I talk to people about Jesus, it's not secondhand information. It's not coming out of a textbook. But it's the gospel that's been placed in my heart. And I have a living way living on the inside of me. I have such joy and confidence that God is with me and God's for me. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. All right, we're going to look at Psalms for a minute and then we'll close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Psalm 31. The 31st Psalm. Verse 24. And I'm saying this to you this morning. I'm saying this to you this morning. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And He will strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. All of you expect God to fulfill His promise. He will strengthen you in your heart. See, it's not a strength problem. It's a hope problem. You get the hope, the strength will come. Come on. So good. Look at 33. Psalm 33. In verse 22. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. How many need mercy? Come on, how many have made mistakes since you've been saved? Maybe you haven't done the right thing. Maybe you cussed somebody out. Maybe you didn't, give when God told you to give. Maybe you lied. Maybe you stole whatever. So you need mercy, right? Come on. Lord, I need your mercy. But I know that I have your mercy because my hope is in you. Come on, my hope is in you. My hope is in you. My hope is in you. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I just have a question before you as you're turning there. What do you say when you wake up in the morning? Oh, where's my coffee? Right? Is it 6 o'clock already? Whatever. What should come out of our mouth is exactly what I'm telling you this morning. You ought to take a couple of these scriptures, write them down, put them by a pillow, put them on the mirror, and say, that's what I'm going to begin to say in the morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to start saying that my hope is in you. My hope is in you. 42 and verse 5 says this, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. What is that saying? My hope is in Him. My help comes from Him. His presence is where I find my help. His presence is where I find my joy. Are you listening to me? Come on! His presence! His presence! He inhabits the praises of His people. Come on. So when you're feeling down, come on. Begin to worship Him. Sometimes it starts out you're prune-faced. Right? Because we've all been there. I mean, things hurt. Loss hurts. Pain hurts. But if you can just get it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on. Whew. Come on, that changes the atmosphere, right? That changes the atmosphere. Glory to God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Really, come on. We have pain here. It hurts. But don't let your meditation be on your hurt. Let it be on your hope. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Write these things down, man. Just get them coming out of your mouth in the morning. We started out talking about keeping the switch of faith turned on. How do I do that? I do that with the words of my mouth. I get up in the morning whether I feel like it or not. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless His holy name. The sadder I get, the more I say it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, nothing ever changes for me. That's because you're saying the same things. Come on. We had a friend, and I think I've done this before. I just feel like singing today, so I'm going to. He wrote a song. He said, when times are high, I'll praise the Lord. When times are low, I'll praise Him more. I'll praise the Lord. Oh, I'll praise You, Lord. Yes, I'll praise You, Lord. I'll praise You, Lord, my God. Come on. Come on. Right? Right? So good. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. There's another key right there. Do you know how to get quiet before God? Do you know how to shut your mind down and just get quiet before Him? I've started this new discipline, a book I was reading, and it talked about in your prayer life, spend 2 minutes before you say anything being quiet. Just shut up. Just, you know, whatever you need to do. I do it this way. I just close my eyes. And I say, Jesus. 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 Until it's kind of like, whoop. My focus is on Him. Look at that. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? How you shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. You ever have friends like that? People that you might know? Maybe some out in the world. Come on. In the world. It's never been like this before since I've been alive, where Christians are absolutely hated. Why are we hated? Because we stand for righteousness. And it's not like we're saying, well, here's my opinion. Because that's not the case. Here's what the Bible says. You know. But here's my refuge. Here's the place where we run. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock and my strength. And God is my refuge in Him. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Come on. Hope in Him. Trust in Him. Confident. Pour out your heart before Him, for God is a refuge to us. Come on. He is my refuge. He's my rock. He's my hope. He's my hope. He's your hope today. He's got today taken care of. He'll have tomorrow taken care of and your eternity taken care of, because God has not left you. God hasn't abandoned you. God will not leave you alone to fail. God, He is my salvation. He's my refuge. He's my rock. And in Him do I hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. God, You've encouraged us in our hearts. And we're looking to You, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the great hope that we have, that Christ lives in us and that we're going to live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And Lord, I just give You the praise and the glory and the honor. And Lord, I would just ask that You would speak to anyone who's either watching, we will watch later, or is in this room, Lord, that if they don't know You, if they've lost their confidence, God, that they would speak to You from their heart in a real way and say, God, I need You. Lord, You promised that You would in no way cast me out if I came to You. I know my need. Because I've sinned, I've fallen short of the glory of God. But I just ask You to come into my heart right now. Jesus, become Lord of my life. I just receive You, Father, as my Father. Thank You, Lord, for helping me to become born again this morning. Thank You, Lord. I pray for everybody, Lord, that's watching. And Lord, I pray also that if they've been born again, but they've not been filled with the Spirit, Lord, that this morning they'd receive their prayer language. Father, that they'd communicate with You and open up the whole area of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, fill them right now. Lord, if there's anyone that's watching that's not here that needs healing in their body, I ask You to touch them, to heal them, and to set them free in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Can I have the worship team come on up? And Josh, you can quit the live stream. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's worship Him together. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. And you know, if you just need encouragement, man, you've just been blessed. And you say, man, I want to seal this in me. Just come on up. We'll pray for one another. God's here. The Spirit of God is moving. I'm expecting, watch this, I'm expecting a move of the Spirit of God with the gifts of the Spirit in operation like we've never seen them before. What does that mean? You're not going to come up here and watch me operate in all the gifts. I'm expecting God to use you in discerning of spirits. Come on. In working of miracles and the gift of faith. All of us. Right? This is going to take us all. And then when you're blessed in here, then just go out and